I am really glad David decided to sing that song, because that's the title of tonight's lesson, Revive Us Again. Revive Us Again. First of all, I want us to, as an introduction, think about this scene. City is Jerusalem back during the days of Haggai the prophet. The temple of God is lying in ruins, but the people, the Jewish people, the Israelites, were living well. They were living abundantly in their own houses. God's work was being neglected. So Haggai the prophet delivers a message to them. He rebukes them, tells them to consider their ways, to get up and rebuild God's house. Now, let's read what happens. In Haggai chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai the Lord's messenger spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. What did they do? They were revived. A revival took place. Yes, that was a long time ago, but it was a revival. Tonight's lesson and next Sunday evening's lesson is going to be about, is it possible that we need a revival? And if so, how do we know and what do we do about it? Those are all very important questions, especially when you look at the Lord's church, when you look at the statistics about the Lord's church and how in many, many places it's not only not growing, but it's going in the opposite direction. And when you look at the spirit and the attitude of Christians in many places, you see that many of us need reviving. So we're going to look at tonight and hopefully next Sunday evening how important it is for us to be or to experience a revival. I want us to start by looking at some of the examples in the Bible of those people who needed a revival. If you're still in the Old Testament, I want to start with God's people during the days of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah understands how important it is for his people to be revived. Jeremiah chapter 2. And we'll begin in verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. What was wrong? He said, I remember when you loved your God, when you loved each other, when you were kind to each other, when you followed me. What was the implication? They had stopped. They had stopped doing that. So they had forgot basically their first love, which is just what happened to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Remember those seven churches that John addresses? Ephesus had done the same thing. They had left their first love. They needed revived. Throughout time, God has had to remind people that there is a need to be revived. And we'll talk about some of the reasons that people need to be revived. What happens to them? The church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 needed to be revived. They needed to strengthen. They needed to build up the things that remained. So throughout time, Jeremiah's time, Haggai's time in the first century, God's people had needed to be revived. And that hasn't changed. I remember so much years ago having revivals and seeing the number of people who were converted and the spirit and the attitude. And it was a revival. We've been talking Wednesday night about the first and second great awakenings in the religious world in America, especially in the 1800s. And the great revivals that were being had all over the Middle East part of our country. We do need revivals. Brother Winkler had a profile in one of his books about if you have these symptoms, you need a revival. And I want to read some of those to you, and we'll kind of see if that applies to you or me, to us as a group, and see, do we need reviving? Do we have a ho-hum, unconcerned attitude? Are we straddlers? In other words, are we lukewarm? Do we live a little for the Lord and a little for the world? In other words, does that describe us? Do we spend just a little time in prayer, a little time in Bible study, and a little time in self-examination? Do we stay away from the assembly of the church even when we could come? Do we give little support to the work of the church? In other words, do we give much, much less than we really need to and that we could? Do we avoid talking with others about spiritual things? Well, there's one that might hit us. Do we avoid talking with others about spiritual things? If so, maybe we need reviving. Do we want worship services over as quickly as possible? Do we groan if someone responds to the invitation? We know when someone responds that the angels in heaven rejoice. Well, that's what we should be doing as well. Do we have time for other things, Brother Winkler says, but no time to teach classes or to visit the sick or to attend gospel meetings or on and on and on? Remember Jesus' story in Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes back, He's going to sit on His throne and He's going to judge the nations. And what's He going to do? He's going to divide them into sheep and goats. The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. And that particular account stresses what? What His people should have been doing. Those on the right, the sheep, visited people in prison. They visited the sick. They helped people who were needy. They took food to people who needed it, and so on and so on and so on. The goats didn't do any of those things. So something that's very important for us to know is that that is important in our lives. And so maybe we need reviving. We need to have people recall to us how we once were. If we have become a little complacent or we just don't have that spirit anymore that we used to have, then maybe we do need a revival. So what causes people to need reviving? There was a profile. What causes people to need reviving? A number of things that I think are very important. One thing that was a problem in the Laodicean church was they were self-satisfied. You know, they looked at their church, they saw that they were doing things, but their whole attitude was lukewarm. You know, they really didn't care. They thought things were fine just like they are, or were. They didn't need to do anything else. They were self-satisfied. I don't know who said this. I didn't write down the name. It said, on the plains of hesitation lie the blackened bones of countless millions who, at the dawn of victory, sat down to rest, and resting, died. We can't be complacent. We can't be complacent. We have to realize we have to run the race until it is finished. That's what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us. We have to keep running until it's over. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer tells us about this great race. And it's so important and it's so relevant if you've been watching the Olympics. And you've probably seen some contest where someone could have got a medal, but at the very end kind of let up a little bit and lost. I saw that. I don't remember what race it was last time, but someone did that. They could have had the bronze medal, but they let up just a little bit at the end, and someone took it away from them. Well, we're certainly running a far more important race than that, but it's the same principle. We can't let up. Even if we see the end in sight, we can't let up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Run with endurance. Again, we can't be self-satisfied. We can't think, well, we're doing okay. That's the kind of attitude that Satan loves. Satan knows that when we get to the point where we're self-satisfied and complacent, that he doesn't have to worry about us anymore. He's already got us. Being self-satisfied is a clue that we need to be revived. Discouragement. You know, this is why the prophet Elijah's spirit needed reviving. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. This is a great example of what we're talking about. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to be talking about the prophet Elijah. First of all, notice verse 4. This is the account where Elijah is running from Jezebel, the wicked queen. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 says, "But he himself," talking about Elijah, "went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.'" And we skip down to verse 14. Elijah said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." See how discouraged he was? He says, "It's me, there's nobody else. I've tried to tell them, I've tried to warn them, I've tried to do what I could," but he said, "There's nobody left, and everyone is trying to kill me." So he had reached just about the lowest depths. Now notice verse 18. This is God responding to Elijah. God says, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." What was he telling Elijah? Elijah, you're not alone. You may feel like you're alone, but you're not. There are at least 7,000 out there who have not bowed down to Baal. It's not just you. I have other people. So he was trying to encourage Elijah. Now, Elijah was an inspired prophet, and he still got discouraged. So discouragement can cause us to need reviving. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Who can be against us? Well, nobody. Something else that can cause us to need reviving is greed. Greed. So much time and energy is spent pursuing acquisitions of more and more possessions that we're tired to do the work of the Lord. We're just tired. We don't have any energy or anything left, no time. We're just exhausted from every day, so I don't have anything left for the Lord. That's a time when we need reviving. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." There's not a minimum amount of money that we have to die in the Lord. I'm very thankful for that, because I probably won't have a nickel. But there isn't. There's no minimum amount of money we have to die in the Lord. We die penniless and faithful. That's all that matters. That's absolutely all that matters. So greed can be something that causes us to need reviving. A fourth one, uninspired preaching. Now, I didn't say uninspiring, but uninspired preaching. Big difference between those two things. Uninspired preaching. Preaching has to be inspired. In other words, it has to come from God's Word. If a congregation doesn't get a consistent diet of God's Word, regardless of how they may look, they need reviving. They need reviving because it's God's Word that feeds them, that nourishes them, that builds them up, that edifies them. And so if they don't get that constant, consistent preaching from God's Word, then they're going to need reviving. Again, they may look very much spiritual alive, but they're really dying on the inside. And they need a revival. The church is going to be weak if they don't hear that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when Paul wrote to that church, he talked to them about how important this was. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He says, I did not come to you preaching philosophies of men. I didn't come preaching to you traditions of men. I came to you preaching God's Word. It was God's wisdom. That church at Corinth did not need men's ideas or men's teaching or men's philosophies. They didn't need any of that. And today, people do not need that either in the Lord's church. They need that consistent diet of God's Word. They don't need lessons filled with stories and humor. And those things are good as illustrations sometimes, but that's not what the lesson is supposed to be about. It needs to come from God's Word. It's not supposed to be about pop psychology or anything like that. It needs to come from God's Word. That's the only way a church is going to be fed. And then the fifth and last one is a lack of faith. A lack of faith can cause a church to need reviving. Remember what Peter said? He was out on the ocean doing well, but then he began to sink. And Jesus had to grab him, pull him up, keep him from drowning. And Jesus' response was, not just to Peter, but to all the apostles, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" That's what Jesus told them. Why'd you doubt? Peter, you knew that I wasn't going to let you drown. You knew that you could walk on that water. So why did you have little faith? So that can be a problem as well. The 10 spies who came back from Canaan, what did they say? Now, they went to this amazing place. They say they saw all these wonderful blessings that they could have in Canaan because God had promised it to them. And what did these 10 spies come back and say? Did they talk about how wonderful things were and how great the land was? No. They found that one thing. Said, "We can't go there. We're like grasshoppers compared to those men." So, little faith can cause us to need reviving. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer gives us advice that we need to follow. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35, the writer says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's how we can bring about revival, by looking at those words right there. It says, having this confidence brings a great reward. And how does that come about? By doing the will of God. Because after you've done the will of God, then you receive the promise. Then you receive the promise. Well, we've looked briefly at some of the things that causes a need for revival. We've looked at characteristics of people who need reviving. Did that hit any of us? Probably all of us in one category or another. Imagine most of us, our soul needs reviving in some way or another. And if you look at all of those things that we talked about, that we looked at, it all goes back to what God has told us in His Word and whether we believe it or not. Whether we believe what God's Word says or not. He tells us, if you persevere, if you endure to the end, you will receive a great reward. It all goes back to God, and it always does. But we can never become self-satisfied. We can never become complacent. We need to be zealous and repent. Just like in the days of Haggai, in the days of Jeremiah, in the first century, we need to be zealous and repent. This evening, David's going to lead us in an invitation song. Is it the night you need to repent? Is it the night you need to put Christ on in baptism? Is it a night in which you need to confess wrong and ask for forgiveness? If you need to respond in any of those ways, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.